all of a sudden, you know, your body is sort of winding down to go to sleep, and then all of a sudden you're exposing your eyes to all this light that confuses your circadian rhythm. So instead of going into a nice sleep cycle, your brain all of a sudden wakes up and it doesn't know what to do.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my honor and pleasure to be with you here on another brand new episode. And I'm so excited because, honestly, this is a topic I've been wanting to talk about for a long time and was just waiting for the right expert, which we have tonight. First, let me just grab a drink of tea to wet my whistle. And I don't know if you watched the last show. Yeah, that's good. The last show where I mentioned someone had been to Europe and they knew to bring me 4 boxes of my very favorite tea. So I've been splurging here. I hope you have something good there to cuddle up with as we talk about our eyes. Oftentimes, I think that's part of it that's overlooked. I mean, so many other things we can see, but, you know, thinking or seeing our own eyes, how little do we talk about them? And one of the topics that I think is really important, and I find that it's not just autoimmune related, oftentimes it could be aging, all sorts of things. So we'll get into that as well. Tonight, we have Dr. Jovi Boparai. He's a practicing... Dr. Jovi, help me with this. Ophthalmic surgeon. Is that right?
Ophthalmic surgeon, correct.
Ophthalmic surgeon, okay.
Ophthalmic surgeon, yeah.
It's not spelled that way, everybody. So I've been practicing saying that. He's the co-founder of Cornea Care, and it's a digital eye care company. He graduated top of his class, and he's now a prestigious surgeon. And he's going to talk about his personal struggles with eye problems, from contact lens to digital screens. And we're also going to talk about how we can get relief from a few things that are very common to people with autoimmune. And my first thing I want to do is welcome Dr. Jovi. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Truly a privilege.
Oh my gosh. And thank you for talking about this topic, because we're going to talk about dry eyes to start. And we'll probably go all over the place with our eyes, because I think when we're in the middle of an autoimmune condition, there are certain parts that kind of get overlooked. And I think eyes is one of them. What are some common things that you see with people that they don't really realize is an eye problem?
So I think on a day-to-day basis, most individuals experience eye symptoms. And that's more prominent now. We're spending most of our time facing digital screens. So that includes your phone, that includes your computer, now that we're all doing a remote work. And so on a day-to-day basis, you know, we're using our eyes a lot. And a lot of individuals are starting to develop eye symptoms. However, there isn't anything that the average individual can turn to take care of their eyes. You know, if you have issues with your teeth, you know, you can brush them. If you feel like your skin is dry, you can moisturize it. But what are you supposed to do for your eyes? On a day-to-day basis, there's nothing in our daily routine that helps us take care of our eyes. And so that's the narrative that I'm trying to change, which is I really want people to realize that they're using their eyes all the time. You know, you even use your eyes when you sleep. You're relying on them more and more, and that we should be taking care of them on a daily basis.
I think sort of like breathing, we forget about them, unfortunately.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the saying is, you know, it's like you don't know it's there until it's affected. It's like you don't know, you know, that you're breathing until you know, it gets harder to breathe, or you don't know that you're using your eyes to see until you get a grain of sand in your eye. And then all of a sudden.
Oh, absolutely. Now, some just basic questions, not particularly autoimmune related, but I'm just curious, and I'm sometimes of this habit, I try really hard not to be, but is it dangerous to look at screens in the dark, meaning like in the middle of the night, picking up your phone and looking at it? Does that harm your eyes?
It doesn't harm it in the conventional way that people think. So, you know, I think there's some myths out there about, you know, looking at screens, you know, in the middle of the night, causing your vision to deteriorate. You know, like when I was younger, my mom used to say, you know, don't sit near the TV, otherwise you're going to have to wear glasses. And, you know, those sort of myths that are out there. Now, certainly doing extended near work can cause some issues, but the average person doesn't really do that. When you're looking at your screen in the middle of the night, the main issue that that presents with is it messes up your circadian rhythm. All of a sudden, you know, your body is sort of winding down to go to sleep. And then all of a sudden you're exposing your eyes to all this light that confuses your circadian rhythm. So instead of going into a nice sleep cycle, your brain all of a sudden wakes up and it doesn't know what to do. So that's, I would say, the primary thing when you do that in the middle of the night that has an impact on your general health. Now, for your eyes in particular, when you're looking at digital screens, one of the things that happens is that you blink less. And when you blink less, you get more tear evaporation, less lubrication of the surface of the eye with the onset of symptoms, feeling dryness, irritation, what have you.
Wow, I did not know that, that I blink less. Sometimes when I watch myself on a Zoom, I think I blink a lot. So that's surprising.
Personally, a lot of times when I'm on Zoom, I'm looking at myself actually, and I try to not be in that habit. And so when you're looking at yourself, it's probably easy to blink, but it's when you're focused on something else. And we see this actually in people who drive, people who play, you know, video games, people who are doing really concentrated work, your blinking decreases because you're so focused.
Okay. And so one of the things that you specialize in is dry eye. Is just that, is that dry eye, or what really is dry eye? I mean, if I'm just concentrating and my eyes feel dry versus what I'll say the medical term dry eye is.
So certainly, I think there's a fine distinction to make between having intermittent symptoms of eye dryness versus dry eye disease. All of us at one point or another probably experience symptoms of dry eye. And as I said, as we spend more time on digital screens, most of us have spent an entire day on Zoom calls. And at the end of the day, your eyes are tired, they're red, they're painful, and your vision is blurry. Now, an individual with dry eye disease has those symptoms all the time. The way I like to explain it is, I don't know if you've ever been to the beach, or if you've ever gotten a grain of sand in your eye, or if you've ever gotten an eyelash in your eye, and you're like, there's something in my eye, it is overwhelming. An individual with dry eye disease experiences that 24/7.
Oh, wow.
With dry eye disease, exactly. And that's why it can truly be a debilitating condition. So while most of us experience symptoms of eye dryness once in a while, individual with dry eye disease experiences them all the time.
Okay. So that's a pretty good way to know that something's wrong, is if it feels like something is in your eye all the time. Wow. What is it?
Yeah.
Are there, well, my first question is, I want to backtrack just a little bit. We talked about too much screen time. What about these kinds of glasses that have the colored lenses, and people say you should wear those for your screen? Do those really help?
There's no good data out there that supports that. And so we don't know if they help. We don't know though that they don't help, you know, so it's like a little unclear. However, there's no clinical evidence to support that these blue light filtering glasses actually work. Now, in the one instance where they might be helpful, again, it's not definitively known, nothing, no data has proven this, is maybe at the end of the night when you're trying to, you know, sort of do a little bit of work, but you're trying to minimize the amount of blue light exposure, because, you know, that's sort of one of the things that can truly stimulate the brain. That's the one instance where maybe blue light filtering glasses might be helpful. However, there's no clinically validated studies that prove and that show that blue light filtering glasses do what they're sort of marketed to do.
Oh, fascinating. Okay. Well,
But if you have them, use them. Your frame, the frame looks great.
Yeah. But have them, I use them, I guess. I was just wondering if, you know, what the science behind them was. I had never really heard it, but that makes sense, I guess. I also have one of those things on my computer that the sets for nighttime and the screen tends to look more yellowish. So that too.
Now that is helpful. Again, you know, there's not studies out there, you know, that have specifically looked at this, but just in terms of intuitively thinking about it, minimizing the amount of light exposure to your eyes that is transmitted to your brain, minimizing that as you get towards the end of the day is really good for you, because that's how your circadian rhythms know, hey, I've got to start calming down, getting ready for sleep.
And sleep is often a common complaint with people with autoimmune condition, getting comfortable, getting enough sleep. And we all had understanding of how important it is to get good quality sleep and being able to have the body regenerate itself.
Absolutely. And it's actually one of the issues that individuals with dry eye disease struggle with as well. Because if you develop, you know, symptoms of dry eyes overnight, people are waking up with feeling like there's something inside their eye. You know, the common symptoms of dry eyes, there's a huge variety, but burning, foreign body sensation, gritty feeling in the eyes, irritation, sometimes itching, blurry vision. So it's a wide variety of symptoms. And you can imagine if you have them and you start actually developing them, you may even get them at nighttime when you're sleeping. A lot of individuals wake up with dry eye symptoms.
Wow. So there's actually, that sounds awful. My idea of there's no relief. Closing your eyes doesn't give you relief.
Exactly. Because the other issue here is a lot of us, when we're sleeping, our eyelids aren't fully closed all the way. What that leads to is when you're theoretically sleeping and your eyelids aren't closed all the way, part of your eye is exposed to the external environment. And that leads to tear evaporation throughout the night. So as you get tear evaporation, that then leads to the onset of dry eye symptoms. You know, that's one of the reasons why a lot of individuals will wake up with dry eye symptoms.
Do those things like sleep masks work at all? Would that help?
Absolutely. So one of the things I recommend for my, and I, you know, I'll check this in the exam where I'll have them blink their eyes while I'm looking at their eyes. And, you know, you can see that their eyes aren't closing all the way. And even if they're closing all the way, when you're lying flat back, your eyelids may open up naturally on their own. So in those instances, I always tell them, you know, please have a sleep mask that you put on at nighttime. Keeps your eyelids closed. I also recommend a sleep mask, even in younger individuals, if you're sleeping under a fan or in front of an air conditioner. Any moving air that's hitting your face is going to eventually lead to tear evaporation, which is going to lead to the onset of symptoms. So if you're sleeping under a fan in front of an AC, or if you're waking up with dry eye symptoms, wearing an eye mask can make a big difference.
Let me back up a second. So hopefully I'm thinking out loud here. Maybe the first thing to discover if I'm waking up with dry eyes is, am I sleeping with my air conditioner blowing on my face?
Absolutely.
Can I ask a simple question like that before I freak out?
Absolutely. You know, and that is one of the questions that I typically will ask, you know, my patients. Because, you know, when it comes to dry eyes, as I said, you know, it's like having that foreign body sensation or gritty sensation 24/7. So it's very emotionally taxing along with physically challenging. And so with these patients, it's not only the treatments that are impactful, but also the lifestyle modifications. And part of that lifestyle modification is asking questions. Are you sleeping in front of an air conditioner unit? Are you sleeping under a fan? Is there a air vent that's blowing in your face? Are you using a humidifier at nighttime? Asking these questions to really tease out the lifestyle modifications, it's very important.
Wow. I'm thinking about how awful this would be as we're discussing it, because how many times when I'm not feeling well, just closing my eyes and maybe putting a cold cloth on my forehead helps me kind of regulate what else is going on. But if it's actually going on in that part of my body that I used to regulate the other parts, this sounds absolutely miserable.
It is. And dry eyes. So when it comes to autoimmune conditions are a risk factor for dry eye disease. And we see this across multiple different autoimmune conditions. On top of that, typical medications used to treat autoimmune conditions are also a risk factor for dry eye disease. And so you kind of have this, you know, two hit, you know, sort of risk factor where the condition itself is a risk factor, but then also the medications used to treat them are also a risk factor. And certainly for individuals that are using their eyes for daily living, daily functioning, and even for calming themselves down and helping themselves relax, if your eyes are also affected, you don't have that outlet.
So would it be, as I'm thinking out loud again here, I'm just mesmerized. This is amazing to me. So would it be helpful to add an eye doctor into my mix of my rheumatologist and whatever else I'm, you know, about my physical therapist, all those kinds of people? Would it be wise to have your eyes checked? How often, if you are on some of these very heavy duty medications?
Absolutely. And, you know, and I'm not saying this because I'm an eye doctor, but certainly having an eye doctor on board is very, very important. It goes back to the reasons that we just discussed, which is that a lot of autoimmune conditions are a risk factor, not just for dry eyes, but for a variety of other eye conditions as well. And the medications you take are a risk factor for dry eyes and a lot of other ocular conditions as well. For example, corticosteroids and steroids, high dose of steroids, can sometimes be used to control acute flare-ups in autoimmune conditions. Prolonged use of oral steroids, even nasal steroids actually, is a risk factor for cataract development and cataract progression. I've seen a lot of young patients that have come and seen me for cataract where they're in their 40s or 50s, you know, technically shouldn't be having cataracts, but they do because they've had to take high doses of oral steroids. And so definitely having an eye doctor on board that is looking at your eyes at least once a year, if not twice a year, is very important. And that follow-up is going to be contingent upon whether your autoimmune condition is under control, what sort of medications you're taking, and whether you have a existing eye condition.
Wow. Okay. We're up against the clock here. We need to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about all things eye care. To me, this is an important overlooked topic. We don't think about our eyes until they're not working. So let's get them healthy. We'll be right back.
The Autoimmune Hour will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by understandingautoimmune.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's P-I-N-K-Y-C-H-E-N-I-L-L-E.com. See you there.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and be sure to go understandingautoimmune.com as well to find out all of our other episodes. And tonight we're here talking all things eyes. As I mentioned, I tended to overlook how important my eyes were until all of a sudden I started having problems with them. And we have an expert here. His name is Dr. Jovi Boparai, and he's a practicing ophthalmic surgeon and the co-founder of Cornea Care. So, Dr. Jovi, I wanted to back up just a little bit and talk about eyes in general and dry eyes. We mentioned that it can be as part of the autoimmune condition. I'm just curious, what other things can, like hormonal changes, what other things can be part of our continuing eye care that we need to be aware of?
Absolutely. So dry, just to talk about dry eye disease. So dry eye disease is one of the most common eye conditions in the United States and in the world. It's projected that over 30 million Americans have dry eye disease, and over 300 million people worldwide have dry eye disease.
That's staggering numbers. That's amazing.
Exactly. And it's a widespread problem. And the reason why it doesn't get as much awareness exposure as other ocular conditions is because think back to the days when we didn't understand what migraines were like, when people thought that migraines were just a headache. You know, if you had a migraine, somebody would just tell you, you know, go take a Tylenol and deal with it. It's similar, just like that with dry eye disease. When somebody has symptoms of dry eye disease, they tell their family and friends, they're not really taken seriously. And just, you know, maybe they'll say, well, just go put an eye drop in and deal with it. They're not understanding the severity of the condition and how it can impact the individual both physically and emotionally, very similar to how migraines can impact an individual. And so that's part of the reason that dry eye disease doesn't get as much awareness. Taking a step back, dry eye disease, it's one of the most common eye conditions, as I said, and it primarily results from tear film dysfunction. You have a tear film that lubricates the front part of your eye. It helps to keep the eye comfortable and to help the eye see clearly. With dry eye disease, that tear film doesn't function as well. And that leads to tear basically evaporation with the onset of dry eye symptoms. And those symptoms include burning, pain, irritation, sometimes itching, light sensitivity, gritty sensation, foreign body sensation, and blurry vision. It's a whole sort of list of symptoms. We find that dry eye disease tends to be more common in women over the age of 50. And one of the reasons for that is because of menopause. With menopause and the thereafter changes in hormone levels, we know that that is a risk factor for developing dry eye disease. In fact, women are twice as more likely as men to develop dry eye disease. On top of that, when it comes to dry eye disease, it's associated with a whole slew of other conditions that affect the body, one of those being autoimmune conditions. But diabetes, having high blood pressure, other conditions can also be a risk factor for dry eye disease. And then finally, a lot of the medication that you may be, even like as simple as taking an antihistamine is a risk factor for dry eye disease. Antihistamines tend to dry you out. Well, guess what? They also dry your eyes out too. Mm-hmm. Other medications that you might be taking are also a risk factor for dry eye disease. So it's a very prevalent condition and not well understood because of this narrative that if you've got some dry eyes, you know, go put an eye drop in and deal with it.
Quick question about some of what was, let's say it was a medication, we'll just say an antihistamine. If you were to stop the antihistamine for whatever reason, does the dry eye go away, or once a dry eye, always a dry eye?
It can go away. And it, in most cases, especially if it's, you know, if you just started using an antihistamine and you realize that your eyes are also irritated and starting to give you symptoms, then stopping antihistamine may help reverse those symptoms of dry eyes. Now, it is true that sometimes, depending on how long you've been on a medication for, that if you've had the presence of dry eyes for a sufficient period of time, there may not be the ability to reverse it. And the main reason for that is once you get the onset of dry eye disease or dry eye symptoms, you get caught up in this cascade of inflammation where the surface of the eye is dry, leads to inflammation. That inflammation then continues to lead to more inflammation, as we commonly see with autoimmune conditions, where presence of inflammation leads to more inflammation. And so depending on how long the dry eye symptom has been there, can lead to the permanent presence of dry eye disease thereafter. And a lot of times, you know, people don't know that a medication that they're taking may be causing their eye symptoms. They may, you know, they might be thinking that it's something else completely unrelated. And so that's why it's really important, you know, for the eye doctor to be able to tease out some of these finer details. And certainly, I never tell my, you know, because a lot of these medications that patients are taking, they're life-saving medications. I don't want you to stop your blood pressure medication. I don't want you to stop your diabetes medication. I don't want you to stop your heart medication. However, by taking the necessary steps, you could prevent the onset of dry eye symptoms in these individuals.
Yeah, that's important to comment, because I said, like, antihistamine, we don't want you to take it, stop taking that either. This isn't medical.
Exactly.
This is just background information to talk to your own practitioners about, give you a basis of understanding of the complexity of it, and then finding your own expert to dissect and find all the different rabbit holes in your own medical condition here. Because autoimmune is a pretty complex thing. And I've often said it feels like medical whack-a-mole, because like we're saying, okay, this one thing, we got it under control, but then something pops up over here. So as we're talking about dry eye disease, though, I wanted to get into some of the autoimmune conditions that are known that dry eye is a symptom of. I'll say, like, Sjogren's, I know, is common. People have dry eyes with Sjogren's. So how do we tell if it's not fair to say just dry eye, but how do we know if it's, or who do we go to find out if it's something more than dry eye, like Sjogren's?
Sure. So that's a great question. And with Sjogren's syndrome, you know, that is, I would say, in terms of the presentation for dry eye disease, being able to take care of those individuals and providing the necessary care is one of the things I really look forward to, because it's one of those conditions that is truly debilitating. And being able to take care of these individuals' eyes is really rewarding. Now, the way to tease it out, whether this is dry eye disease on its own versus dry eye disease related to Sjogren's or another autoimmune condition, is really asking the right question, right? So when the patient's coming in and they have dry eye disease, asking them questions about their body is really important. So with Sjogren's syndrome, you may want to ask, you know, do you have a dry mouth? Are you having any oral symptoms? Are you having any gastric symptoms? When you're ruling out other autoimmune conditions, you may want to ask about joint pain, back pain, and what have you. So asking those questions, that review systems, typically what we call it, is very important. When it comes to Sjogren's syndrome, it's the classic presentation that, you know, we're taught in medical school and even seen thereafter, patient who's coming to you with dry eyes and a dry mouth. And that's where, you know, you really get the process started. Now, you may be the first provider that somebody is seeing with Sjogren's syndrome. And certainly myself as an eye doctor, I can help manage the dry eyes, but I need a multidisciplinary team to manage all the other things. And that's where a rheumatologist comes in to, one, make the definitive diagnosis and then start treatment for the other physical bodily symptoms if needed.
What are the other autoimmunes, if there are others, that could be, if they rule out Sjogren's, but you still have dry eyes and your doctor is going, I think there might be more to it. What are some of the other ones that might fall under that category?
Really the classic ones, you know, rheumatoid arthritis is one that we typically see. Lupus is another one that we generally see with this presentation. Now, I should say, though, that generally when it comes to those conditions, the eye doctor is generally not the first provider that one of those patients is seeing. Generally, they've had other symptoms, systemic symptoms that have prompted them to go see a primary care physician or a rheumatologist, and then they get referred over to you. The patient sort of journey is a little bit different with other autoimmune conditions like rheumatoid arthritis and lupus. When it comes to Sjogren's, that's one of the places where the eye doctor may be the first doctor that the patient is truly seeing.
I'm just thinking, if you have those diagnoses, maybe you want to make sure that you've seen your eye doctor soon.
Absolutely. I think when it comes to autoimmune conditions, if you've been diagnosed with an autoimmune condition, having an eye doctor on board is very important.
Now, when you're selecting an eye doctor, it may be not fair to eye doctors, but I feel like I need to ask it. How do I know that my particular choices in eye doctors might be more attuned to autoimmune versus other things?
So for the most part, I would say, in terms of general doctors, you're expected to keep up with the most recent literature and things that are being published and what is out there in terms of the most up-to-date medical education. I would expect most eye doctors to be able to handle most conditions that, come through the door, particularly, with autoimmune conditions that may be leading to some eye symptoms. The first eye doctor you may see could be an optometrist, where, optometrists can do sort of a whole exam of the eye and determine what's going on. They can see whether that's something that they can handle internally by themselves in terms of what the condition might be that's presenting to them, or they can refer out from there to go see an ophthalmologist, where the ophthalmologist, could do a few other things that might be needed. I would say most eye doctors are well equipped to handle ocular findings of autoimmune conditions. You might get referred out from that eye doctor to other subspecialists.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I think the thing that came to mind is be sure and tell your eye doctor of your diagnosis.
Absolutely. I think that is very important. And, that information is typically collected, when a patient comes into, to see me, a lot of that information is collected up front. And so I'll review that and I'll kind of look for the things that I think might be pertinent to the patient's eye exam and the patient's eye symptoms. But certainly, the more that I love having patients that really come in with a lot of questions that advocate for themselves, just because it makes the encounter much more enjoyable and truly an exchange of information. And I honestly tend to find that patients that have an autoimmune condition, they're extremely well read, because I think a lot of the foundations that are out there do an excellent job, like the Sjogren's Foundation, for example, just an amazing, amazing resource. And being able to have that education on board, bringing that over to seeing your eye doctor just makes the experience much more educational, even for the eye doctor.
Absolutely. We don't have a lot of time left, just about 10 minutes, but I wanted to take a completely different rabbit hole and apologize for this. But the thought came up of contacts, and can contacts or do contacts exacerbate dry eye? Or I imagine, what about contacts in your eyes?
Absolutely. Contact lenses are a risk factor for dry eyes. In fact, that was how I got dry eyes when I was younger. When I was in college, I played sports, and very difficult to wear glasses when you're playing competitive sports. And so I started wearing contact lenses. And shortly thereafter, I started developing eye symptoms. I didn't know what was going on. I went to go see a few providers, and we really couldn't figure out what was going on. After a few months of struggling with eye symptoms, finally figured out that it was related to contact lenses, the way that they were sitting on my eyes, the fit, and thereafter took some time to get my eyes back to their baseline. I have a lot of patients who come in who are wearing contact lenses and thereafter develop dry eyes. Contact lenses, for various different reasons, can lead to dry eyes. They can disrupt the architecture of your tear film, which as we discussed earlier, is one of the mainstay issues with dry eyes. Not only can contacts disrupt that tear film stability, but it can also lead to other aspects of inflammation in the eye. The other issue that I see a lot of times with patients is that patients have a difficult time wearing contact lenses the way that they're prescribed. It's what we call contact lens hygiene. That means taking your contact out at nighttime, making sure you clean them, and not wearing them into the shower or not swimming in them. A lot of patients struggle with that. And all those things lead to issues for the eyes in contact lens wearers. So certainly contact lens wear is a big risk factor for dry eye disease.
I wear glasses all the time. I've thought about contacts, but honestly, I didn't feel like I could keep up with the protocol. I just know myself.
Right. It's tough. Even for me as an eye doctor, when I wear contact lenses, it's difficult to not wear them longer than I'm supposed to. I prefer personally, daily disposable, which is you put them on in the morning and you throw them out at nighttime. Those are the best and the safest option for your eyes.
Any final thoughts? I want to make sure that people know how to get a hold of you and your information on cornea care, but any final thoughts or questions you wished I'd asked that I didn't think about?
I think this is wonderful. I really appreciate you giving me the platform to really talk about eye care. The thing that I always like to say is we really need to change the narrative to make eye care a part of self-care. Right now, eye care is its own little thing and people don't view it as part of self-care. But making eye care a part of self-care will allow you to preserve and enjoy your vision for many years to come.
Now, that brings up an interesting question in my mind, because as I mentioned at the beginning, until my autoimmune condition, I too had that different, like, oh, I'll get around to my eye care. It's sort of like breathing. It's always been there. I find that fascinating that we still, after all of these years, don't understand it's a very important part of our body.
Yeah.
And I've always been fascinated with the eyes as far as understanding how much input they bring into our well-being, and the few times that I haven't had them, it seems like the rest of the body can become dysregulated quite quickly when my eyes aren't working properly.
Absolutely. And there's clear data out there that show that in individuals, like, for example, individuals with dry eye disease are 2 to 3 times more likely to suffer from depression and anxiety. Individuals that have eye problems later in life, those eye issues, particularly vision loss, is a risk factor for dementia. And so there's a lot of these correlations that show that your eyes are foundational to your well-being. And so therefore protecting them is the way to really have a strong body, for years to come.
One final thought, when you said protecting them and that we're coming into summer, what about sunglasses? Are there specifics we should look for in sunglasses?
I think with sunglasses, you really can't go wrong, right? With sunglasses, they're probably one of the better things you can do. So not only do they protect your eyes from, direct wind hitting your eyes, but they also give you some UV protection. So any sunglasses that are offering you UV protection, that's the way to go. And I personally find that in terms of the summertime, wearing sunscreen, number one, around your face, because that does help preventing exposure to the eyes themselves. Obviously, don't put sunscreen in your eyes, but around on your face, sunglasses and a hat can go a really long way for your eyes.
Well, we'll leave it at that for our enjoyment of this summer. Now, tell us more about cornea care. And I'm totally fascinated by this.
Absolutely. So cornea care, we're a full stack digital eye care company where we provide a one-stop shop solution for all of your eye care needs. Starts with a consultation that leads to a diagnosis along with a personalized plan. That personalized plan is synced into our patient app, which you have access to, that really helps you take control of your eyes. We can actually deliver the treatments to you that are part of your personalized plan that we manufacture. And along with this, you get access to our education and community portal where you can learn about your condition, your specific eye condition, and interface with other individuals who have the condition and ask questions to our eye doctors. So let's say if you have dry eye disease and you're not sure what to do, you come onto our platform, you undergo a consultation where after the consultation, a diagnosis is made that then leads to a personalized plan. That personalized plan has not only the products that you should be using, but also your lifestyle modifications along with the things you need to be aware of in your environment. All that information is ported into our app, which you have access to. We deliver the products to you, the actual treatments you need to do. And along with the app, you integrate all of that into your daily routine. Finally, you get access to our education portal about dry eyes that really helps you stay on top of what dry eye disease is. And then you can interact with other patients who have dry eye disease or ask questions to our eye doctors. So while our mission is to provide a solution and relief for eye symptoms and eye conditions, our overarching vision, no pun intended, is to make eye care a part of self-care. If you think about it on a day-to-day basis, we don't do anything to take care of our eyes. And we here at Cornea Care want to change that narrative. We want individuals to make eye care a part of their self-care and protect, preserve, and enjoy their eyesight for years to come.
This is so fascinating, this idea of being able to do this care online or through an app, I guess is better use of the right terminology. I'm curious, though, you had mentioned like I come there first. Do I have to have, is this in conjunction with a local eye doctor? I remember going to my eye doctor and, you know, they put drops in your eyes and they have these machines that they bring up close to your eye and things. Is that done now all via software or?
That's part of what we're building. In terms of the company, you know, we've built out, you know, we already are providing personalized plans along with the actual treatment that we're manufacturing that patients can buy even right now. And we're in the process of building out the technology that really will allow us to leverage all the capabilities that currently exist in cloud computing and in software to be able to do a fairly thorough eye exam remotely. Now, to answer your specific question, of course, that our platform can be used by your own eye doctor. They can actually go through there, and let's say if they see you in the clinic and they come up with a plan and they've made the diagnosis, they can actually use our platform to monitor to make sure that you're actually getting better at home. So essentially, if things are getting better at home, your eye doctor, you know, could tell you, hey, look, you're doing great. Keep up the great, you know, the good work. If things aren't going well at home, your eye doctor may want to change the plan and they can do so through our platform, or they may want to bring you in for an in-person visit.
Wow. Technology, everybody, you got to love it. Even if I'm constantly surprised by it.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jovi, for being on the show and talking about, I think, the one body part that is most often overlooked, unfortunately.
Absolutely. And if you have any questions, you know, you could find all of our resources on our website, including all of my videos where I explain a whole plethora of things about eye care. And our website is mycorneacare.com.
Mycorneacare.com. We'll have that up over at understandingautoimmune.com as well. So in case you're driving or whatever and want to refer to it, we'll have that along with Dr. Jovi Bhopare's information. And so thank you so much for being on the show. Really appreciate taking the time out of your busy schedule to educate us on how important it is to really pay attention to our eyes in our overall well-being and our overall health.
My pleasure. It's been a privilege, and I hope I provided some value to your audience.
Oh, absolutely. We'll have you back because I think the eyes are often overlooked and we'll need to know more. So everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventures. Join me next week for another brand new episode. And if you haven't yet, please go over to Understanding Autoimmune on YouTube and join us there as well. Give us a little subscribe and maybe a little like if you like the show, and really appreciate helping us grow our presence over at YouTube. Understanding Autoimmune is what you search for. And we'll see you there. Have a great week. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.
For the next few minutes, we'll be providing a guided meditation. Meditation is a positive way to help reset your day and does require specific, targeted attention and focus. Please do not drive or operate machinery during this time. As we say here, drive when you drive and meditate when you meditate.
Take a moment now Take a nice deep breath. And extend the exhale with a sigh. That's right. Just let it all go out on the exhale. Relaxing every nook and cranny of your body, finding a nice, comfortable spot. That's right. Take a moment now and go to your favorite spot, your favorite place. You know the place. Take a look around and savor the colors, the smells, the textures and patterns as you continue to relax and just let it all go in your nice, safe spot. That's right. On this next exhale, continuing to relax. Begin to let your mind wander to just the ones and twos in life. Right now, we won't be doing the tens. Just pick a one or two in life of something you need to let go of. You know what it is. Maybe it's a resentment, a flash of anger, an expectation that didn't happen, and you've been carrying it around like a heavy weight. On this exhale, just let it go. Let it drop. That's right, completely drop. Notice how quick and simple it was. Gravity takes over when we drop things, so just let it drop. We don't have to do anything but let go. That's right. Notice how much lighter you feel from this place. Are there any other thoughts that wandered through that need to let go? Take the next few moments now to let them all drop. That's right, you just need to let go. Taking a nice deep inhale, feeling your lungs expand and noticing the lightness and the newfound space from everything that's now dissipated and dropped away from you and gone. That's right. On the next inhale, fill those spots with joy and happiness, discovery, imagination, and curiosity. What a delightful feeling to fill those spots with joy and happiness, curiosity, discovery, and imagination. That's right. Knowing that you can come back to this spot filled with joy, play, imagination, curiosity, comfort, and joy at any time. That's right, at any time. Taking right now just to set a little roadmap marker to know exactly how to get back here at a moment's notice. That's right. Taking all the time you need right now to savor this joy and happiness. As you begin to come back to the present moment, bringing back the joy, the discovery, the creativity, the imagination, happiness, safety, and comfort that you found there on letting go. That's right. Coming back to the present moment, eyes wide open, alert and awake and aware. Welcome back.